Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We're going to be joined tonight by Lieutenant Governor Candidate Rayla Campbell, who is running out of the state of Massachusetts. We look forward to her thoughts, but first I want to remind everyone to head on over to HealthyCell.com and check out the great products. If you are worried about COVID, HealthyCell's Immune Super Boost would be perfect for you. It has zinc, vitamin C, and vitamin D3. So many great things. HealthyCell comes in tasty gel packs with world-class packaging. If you do not like taking pills, it is perfect. Rob and I have been taking it for over a month now, and we feel great. Head on over to HealthyCell.com and save 20% off with the promo code OUTLOUD. You know, recently, Rob, we saw Joe Biden, and with help from 19 Republicans, pass a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, are adding on trillions more to what Biden has already spent in his short time in office. For me personally, I'm spending an extra $1.20 on gas, spending at least an extra $40 a week on groceries. I think with this infrastructure, we are going to keep seeing inflation go up with the more and more that Joe Biden and his administration continues to spend. I've never seen anything like it before. It is just out of control. When does this spending stop, Rob?
It doesn't stop. Once they open up the door, it just keeps going nonstop. And I'm looking here, someone has sent me a text of pictures of the rhinos who voted for this infrastructure bill. Now, they're trying to prop it up there and say, well, it's not going to get through the House. And we're pushing this through because there's another bill that they want to tack on to it. And we're going to push back on that. Okay, push back all you will. I don't believe it. Mitch McConnell, always the usual suspects, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, Lindsey Graham. What is the other woman's name from Maine? She also, usual suspect, she's supporting this bill. I don't get it. I know that the senators, they're not the majority. But when President Trump was in office, these guys gave him a difficult time to try and pass anything. When he wanted to fund the wall, MagDog Mattis came out and said, well, we need to give our troops a raise. The president acquiesced and said, okay, for the troops, I will do this. But I don't want to sign this piece of garbage that you guys are putting before me. Don't ever do it again. What do we have now? 2021? We have these rhinos. And they're not really rhinos, I don't think. I think they're Democrats working with the Democrats to pass an infrastructure bill that they're saying is going to be the bill and we've got to do it because we need infrastructure. Well, if we haven't had infrastructure up until now, I'm sorry, let it wait. Have you guys even read this bill? There's one thing in the bill that stands out, and that's this universal pre-K for kids as early as 3, might be 2. That's dangerous because, Andrew, what they're doing is that they're trying to get access to our kids at an early age so they can start the indoctrination. Now, I know that there are a lot of parents that are out there and they hear this and they're thinking, oh, finally, I won't have to pay for childcare. The government is going to raise my kid because that's, in essence, what you're doing. You're letting the government raise your kid. Once they get their hands on your kid, get their hands on their precious minds and start putting in their heads all of this crazy, these crazy ideas, critical race theory. Yeah, they'll try to push it. They'll say, well, we're not teaching it, but they'll teach it under something else. Men can have babies. That's one of my biggest gripes. Men cannot have babies. And I've said this before, and I will keep saying it. And you can hate me all you want to. A man cannot now or ever be able to have a baby.
Or a period.
Get over it. Or they can't have periods, period. Okay? That's it. Now, I can get rather, you know, graphic with this. As a guy said once, he was reading this in this article, he told this one woman, if you have a, you're not a chick. I mean, it's just simple, but these are the things that they want to push on our kids. And some would say, but no, they don't. Yes, they do. When they're young, a sponge, they can teach them anything, and then these kids will grow up believing it and thinking it. As it is already, they're telling us, oh, there are no male, there are no females. We're just all out here loving everyone. There's male, there's female. It all starts with the chromosomes. Don't allow them to just arbitrarily change science That's abnormal. It is abnormal. And they want to look at you and tell you, no, 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 you can't say that. What is normal? You know, at one point I would hear this, yeah, what's normal? And I was falling for it. I'm like, right, yeah, that's right. Like, you know, what I think is normal is not normal. No, what they're pushing is abnormal. So this infrastructure bill is abnormal. Wanting to get access or have access to our children at a young age. I have a 7-year-old, a single parent, and I have a 7-year-old nephew, and I watch what they're being taught at school. And this all came about during the pandemic and some of the stuff that they're trying to tell these kids. I'm like, no, 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 not in this household. So I'm sure my son is out there all the time saying, no, Papa said that can't happen. Papa said that boys can't be princesses and boys can't be princesses. I have to watch when my kid is watching Sesame Street because they're introducing this one character. I don't know if the character is transgender, transvestite, or what he is. You have Disney getting ready to put out a new version of Cinderella with Billy Porter being the fairy godmother. Okay, why can't he be the fairy godfather? Why does he have to be the fairy godmother wearing a dress? Why does it have to be a Black man? I'll tell you why. Because Black to them equals toxic masculinity. Not that white doesn't, because it does. But Black men and rap music, toxic masculinity. And they have to tear it down. They have to deconstruct it. They have to rip it apart. Meanwhile, women, they can be as masculine as they want. No one complains about women being masculine. No one complains about women being feminine. They don't care about that. But it's the man. They don't want him to be masculine. These are the things that we have to keep our eyes on. So when they talk about we're giving all this money, infrastructure, and people, oh, this sounds good. There's something else embedded in it called pork. These little pet projects that they're using to destroy the institution of the family. They're using to destroy what we hold near and dear. They're using it to destroy Christianity. They'll say nothing about Islam. Oh, let them do whatever they want to do. But Christianity, oh, that's like a vampire is with garlic. Ew, we don't want to hear it. Get it out of here. This is America 2021. Look at the Olympics. All they talked about were the women coming out protesting. The woman putting up an X saying, it's about the intersectionality. It's about this. It's all a bunch of hooey. Don't believe it. We have psychologists and psychiatrists that are pushing this stuff, and they're liberal. We need to get the conservatives out front. We need for them to talk. We need to hear what they're saying. We can no longer be silent. When I get up in the morning time and I turn on my computer and I see a candidate like Rayla Campbell, who's on our show tonight, talking the talk, pushing back, wanting people to wake up and say, look around you, look at what's happening. Rayla is a good conservative, a good candidate who's in politics. One thing doesn't work, she's trying another. She's in it. She's in it to win it. She's involved. We need more people like Rayla to be involved. Get some skin in the game. I mean, when she first came to my attention, I was watching Barbara from Harlem and I thought, I've got to have this woman on the show. Because she's talking the talk and she's going the distance. And in the midst of it, the opposition that she has, people literally attacking her, trying to silence her voice because she's speaking out and she's sounding the alarms and she's saying, wait a minute, this is not who we are. So as a result, oh, we got to get rid of her. But to physically attack her for her beliefs, for what she's standing up for. She's not giving in to it. She's still in the game. She's now running for lieutenant governor. We need people like that out there doing it every day. We don't need the rhinos. We don't need the people who are just doing it for show. She also has kids. And she had said once that she was listening in as to what they were trying to teach her kids. And she's like, not in this household. No, not in this household. This is what we're going to learn in this household. Parents, wake up. Get involved. Don't allow the schools to have the final say. Don't allow the government to raise your precious babies. Kimberly Fletcher, Moms of America, she even talked about the same thing. We've got to get involved because if we don't, we will lose. And we have lost so much ground to the left because we were looking at them thinking, oh, let them do their parties. Let them have control of entertainment. Let them have control of the media. We don't care. Well, now we wake up and we see that we lost. We're missing it. But thankfully, we have people, patriots, like Rayla Campbell, who's not going to give up, who's going to keep going, who's going to keep fighting. Rayla, how are you?
I am doing so well, Rob. Thank you so much for having me on. You and Andrew, this is amazing. It's an honor to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you back. And as we were chatting before we went on air, I mean, you share something with us that was completely unbeknownst to us, that you're now running for lieutenant governor. And yeah. As I said, you don't give up. You're in this. And I mean, just looking at where you started and where you're going, I don't know if I could have stayed in the fight the way you are, but you're in it to win it, despite all the people that are trying to hold you back and physically attack you. Rayla, how do you do it?
You know, I'm a mother of three small children, and when I look into their eyes and I see what this country has become and what my state has become, I have to fight for them. And God has given me the strength to stand up against a lot in my life. And especially after being attacked like we were in D.C. I mean, what type of people attack a mom, her children, and a baby in a stroller? And having my husband being there, like, thank God he was there to protect us, because they were trying to grab my stroller. Who does that? This showed me how unhinged our country has become, and it's not the country I grew up in. And then when I come back locally to my state, and you see that elderly people are being attacked because of their views, because they're standing up for what we believe in. We cannot have this, and we need to fight it locally as well as nationally. But the fight is really here at home.
The fight is here. And you ask the question, who would do it? I'll tell you, the left, Democrats, they have no shame. You look at the spring and summer of 2020, when there was an insurrection, when they burned down buildings, trying to burn down cops or burn up cops inside a police precinct. David Dorn, who was killed on camera. And the list goes on and on and on. Just the other day, a police officer was killed in Chicago. Ella French. Let's not forget her. Ella French. Now, no one is going to go out and celebrate her life, or protest that she was dead, or as one of the journalists said, Chris Cimoglia, he wrote in the Washington Examiner, a beautiful piece, I would implore you all to read it, she's not going to have a golden casket or be driven in some fancy hearse to her final place of resting, or have some statue erected in honor of her. That won't happen for Ella French. But the dins and dings of society, the criminals, the people that killed her, they'll probably come out and say, oh, they were saints. They were good. Look at yourself, Rayla. Attacked. Those are the people who would do it. The left, the liberals, Antifa, BLM. We have to forever keep our eyes open and careful. So Rayla, as a lieutenant governor of Massachusetts, what do you hope to do?
Well, first thing I hope to do is oversee and reform what's going on in our elections. The lieutenant governor has oversight of Secretary of State's office. And we know what happened last year. Well, maybe some people don't know exactly what happened last year, but they broke the law to keep me off the ballot because I should actually be in Congress right now. I would have won, but they cheated and they broke the law and my constitutional rights to keep me off the ballot. When Governor Baker lowered the number of signatures to 1,000 due to COVID, that number that you're required to get during the nomination process is the same number that you're required to get during the primary. And as long as you get that number or any higher as a write-in candidate, if somebody, any the higher amount of any other candidate that you're running against, you're going to be on the ballot for the general election. So not only did I get the number required, I exceeded it. And there's now 8,500 ballots that we have to see, because they didn't count them. They put them as undervotes or miscellaneous and weird names they put them under. It's where someone either made a grammatical error and spelled my name wrong, or they didn't fill in the bubble, or they wrote below the line. All I needed was 1,000. They certified 1,200. And then they told me to my face that no, I'm required to get the original statute, which is 2,000, which therefore broke the law and violated my constitutional rights. And we are actively going after them right now.
And you know, that's what Democrats always do. You had shared that story with us before, how they didn't want your name on the ballot. And they did all this little funny stuff that they were doing with the ballots. And we see that happening or happen consistently throughout the 2020 election. The election that they told us wasn't stolen, the election that they told us was fair and square. And now that we're saying, okay, let's audit the votes. Oh no, we can't audit the votes. Why don't you guys just go away? Shut up. The election wasn't stolen. The people that lost, they lost fair and square. It's like, no, that's not what happened. But I will tell you this. 2016, that whole charade of election collusion, we had to endure that for 4 years. Do they talk about it now? Oh, no, they've moved on. They've moved on to insurrection now. The only insurrection that took place was the insurrection that they did during the summer and spring of 2020. At this current election, that was the insurrection when they all colluded together to make certain that conservatives lost. I've heard so many individuals who ran who said there was so much that took place that should not have taken place. Why were judges making rulings over the election? That's the responsibility of the state legislatures. But a lot of people don't know that. They think that what the judges did was right. So you were affected by it, with them not wanting your name there. Now you're going to run for a position that oversees it. As you said, Rayla, we have to get involved at the local, the state, and the federal at every level, because if we don't, the Democrats will win. That's what they do. I mean, when I look at Republicans not wanting to go into blue districts and fight the fight like you're doing, Rayla, fighting the fight, you can very easily give up. I mean, what is a percentage of conservatives in Massachusetts compared to liberals and Democrats?
We registered, we have, it has like 30% registered versus, what is it, about 49%, I think, Democrat. I mean, if you count the independents, they're really all Democrats. So we have like 30% and all the rest are Democrats. And that's on a high note.
Yeah, I remember we had Julie Hall on, and she said Massachusetts might be the most liberal state in the country. Earlier tonight, Rayla, you mentioned how you were attacked last year in 2020. For people who are not familiar with the story, can you maybe shed some light on exactly what happened?
We actually went down, so I was attacked multiple times throughout campaigning. At all of my rallies, I would have BLM show up. And mind you, I am a Black woman. So why is BLM and Antifa showing up at a Black rally with Black Lives Matter signs, yelling obscenities, throwing stuff? They got me with bullhorns. You know, I have had bottles of water thrown at me. I've had juice bottles thrown at me. It was pretty intense and insane. And we went down to DC, me and my family, and we wanted to be part of the Stop the Million MAGA March. When we were right after the election, it was like we all went down there. It was huge. It was amazing. It was beautiful. I wore my Back the Blue dress and I have my Trump sweatshirt. And, you know, I am Black Voices for Trump here in Massachusetts. So it was important for me to go down there and show support for a lot of people that couldn't go down there. So I brought my family. It was going to be a great event. We're going to be able to go sightseeing, leave early. And that's exactly how it was. It was amazing. And then at like 2:30, the kids were tired. We ran out of snacks. We're like, all right, let's go. Let's try to see some of the sights on our way out and grab something to eat. We would love to eat somewhere in the city. We did see people eating in a bubble, which was weird. But so we're walking and the police were funneling us back down through the way that we came. They blocked off all the streets because they said, you know, there was stuff going on and they just wanted to protect everybody and keep them all in the same areas. So we walked back down and we're on BLM Boulevard and I see a swarm of Biden supporters, Biden signs, the Antifa face masks that people always wear that you can assume, you know it's them, and the yellow signs that had all of their crazy stuff. I don't even pay attention to what they write or say. But we saw it, and I took the baby out of the front of the stroller. I had to wake him up and put him in the back of the stroller. And then we had the girls really close to us. And as soon as we started walking through, I thanked the officers for everything that they were doing. And right after that, it was like animals, just a swarm of vultures just descending upon us and attacking. And they were, you know, trying to grab my children, trying to separate me and my husband, tried to grab my stroller. And I had my bullhorn, which I had turned on. And I was like, trying to get them to back up, and the police instantly came, and that's when they lunged at me and my husband and my children. My husband defended us with our flag, with the Don't Tread on Me flag, and he defended them, and they just kept coming, and he ended up tripping over my daughter, who was screaming and holding on to her daddy. She was afraid, and they both fell down, and all I could see was like my kid's face, my husband, all of these people, my other daughter's crying, my baby's in the stroller. And at that point, the police grabbed people off and I was still being attacked. They were still coming on. And this girl who was eventually arrested, who knows whatever happened to her, but she comes like right over and she's still trying to go after my kid. And I was like, if somebody doesn't remove this woman, we're really going to have a problem. And it was crazy. And the cops then brought us over to the side. And my son, my daughters were traumatized. We got medical care for the kids. And my husband had a couple of scrapes on him from when he went down. But yeah, it was so scary. We were sitting there for a good 45 minutes after, and they were just making sure that we could get back to our car safely. And even on we were one block away from getting back to our car. And even when we're getting to there, we got attacked two more times. But luckily, there were good bystanders there with cameras that just went after these people. I'm like, we've got to get out of the city. It was insane. And now my daughter, oldest daughter, who's only 11, and at the time they were 10, 8, and 3. And she does not want to go to any rallies. She's very traumatized. Anytime I'm like, we're going to a parade or something that's fun, she's like, it's not a rally, right? I'm like, no, it's okay, baby. She just, that was the worst experience for her. And it was now their vision of Washington, D.C. is a place of evil. And it's terrible.
But that's what you have when you're working with lefties. They will always make the situation bad, but they complain about the right. But now that you're looking at being the top cop, who'll be able to enforce the laws, because we see right now, many at the top who happen to be Democrats, they don't enforce the law. They're activists. I look around the nation as a whole, and I look at the people that are running for these positions, and I wonder, like, why isn't that we don't have more conservatives that are running? So I take my hat off to you, Rayla, for jumping in again, knowing what you're up against, knowing how people have treated you. I take my hat up that you're willing to go the extra mile with your family. God bless you and your family and protect you and your family, because we need people at that top level. Because right now we have a lot of George Soros flunkies that are there interpreting the laws, letting criminals out, letting the sanctity of the country, the unity, just completely fall down around us. And then people look around and say, why? Why is this happening? It was because of COVID. No, it was not because of COVID. It was because of the people at the top that are refusing to enforce the law. We don't need more laws. We just need for the laws to be enforced. So I hope you're able to pull this off. I know, I think you're going against, what's her name? Tammy Guevara or Guevara, who's a Democrat.
Govea. She's a Democrat. So she's not even like there's a primary. So right now she's just another one of those crazy Democrats. And guess what? She's a teacher who loves CRT.
Dangerous. Danger, danger, CRT. And she would probably get there and she would probably enforce teachers to teach it. We're going to talk about CRT in our next segment. But we got to keep our eyes on the prize. We have got to get involved. I cannot say that enough. You're saying it. We have got to get involved at every level. I'm involved in the PTA here at my kid's school. I'm looking at other positions because when we don't get involved, we're opening our kids up to this craziness that the left has to offer because they're not going to teach our kids the fundamentals. I mean, whatever happened to STEM? We're busy trying to teach kids about sex. It's like, no wonder our kids are falling behind. We're busy trying to keep our kids out of the school because, oh, COVID's going to get them and COVID's this and COVID, that's the perfect excuse to keep the kids out of the school. We've got to wake up, America. We have got to wake up and we've got to start supporting these candidates like Rayla and we've got to start getting involved because, Andrew, if we don't do it, our country will collapse. And you and I both know that we have had guests on the show time after time after time who have experienced this. And they've said, if America falls, the world falls.
Yeah, absolutely. And here at After Dark with Rob and Andrew and America Out Loud, we like to support these people who are getting involved. We really appreciate them looking out for their communities. You are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We will be back with more for candidate for Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Massachusetts, Rayla Campbell.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
There was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutLoud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And our guest tonight is Rayla Campbell, who's running for Lieutenant Governor in the state of Massachusetts. There's a lot we're going to be talking about in our second segment of the show. One of the things is COVID-19, to vax, not to vax, and the mask situation. We know that our kids are getting ready to go back to school. And when you think back on this whole COVID deal, what's happening? We were initially told not to wear a mask, that we didn't need a mask. Then we were told to wear a mask. Then we were told that if we stayed in for a couple of years, not a couple of years, but a couple of months, this thing would all go away. didn't go away. Then we were told we needed a vaccine, but we won't get the vaccine for months or for years. Then we were told that if we got the vaccine, the people that with comorbidities and, you know, that are sick and the older people, they should get the vaccine because young people, it doesn't affect them. Then we were told that, okay, it does affect young people, but they will bounce back. Then we were told that, hey, you know, we got the vaccine. Let's get the older people vaccinated and the people who have underlying health conditions. Okay, that stayed a little bit. And then we're told, no, young people need to get it also. And now they have moved it down. They have changed the bar, lowered the bar rather, moved the benchmark. And they're now saying that kids as old as 12 and up should get the vaccine because they can now spread the virus. And guess what else? Even if you have the vaccine, you could possibly spread the virus. Oh, and then there's another new Delta variant that's out there. And then there's another one that's coming from overseas. I think it's the Beta variant that's coming out there. Little by little, they're going to say babies need to get the vaccine. I don't know why they just won't go ahead and say it. Stop lying to us and just tell the truth that we didn't want the kids to get it because we didn't have enough vaccinations. So we kept trying to move it along and we kept trying to look at the data. We need to get rid of Dr. Fraud. The same way New York is getting rid of Andrew Cuomo, we need to get rid of Dr. Fraud. We really need to get rid of President Biden and his sidekick, Kamala Harris. But that's another story for another day. But we need to get rid of this guy, Dr. Fraud, because I don't trust anything that he's saying. And why is it that we can't get a second opinion? When we go to the doctors, they always tell us to get a second opinion. Why can't we get one now? Why is it that we have to hold his word to be gospel and he keeps changing? We know that he probably was behind gain of function research. And he's lying about it. Elections have consequences. And because the Republicans did not take control of the House and the Senate, a lot of the things that I'm bringing up now, we may never have the answer to them because the Democrats will block it every step of the way. The liberal media will support them. Sounds like a socialist state, does it not? It's because it is. We're marching towards socialism. Socialism is already at our door with them wanting to force people to get the vaccine. Why can't I decide? If I don't get the vaccine, then let me die. Not that I have anything against the vaccine. If people want to take the vaccine, they should. I'm sure that it does have some efficacies that will help some people. But to force it down people's throat, of course, people are going to resist it, especially when the FDA seems to be dragging their feet about approving this. Why won't Biden just tell them, approve it? Why won't Biden reach out to President Trump and say, yo, man, make a PSA with me. I got it wrong, and maybe we can help to allay the concerns of people about the vaccine, especially with school starting. And we see that these teachers are trying to pull another one on us, especially Randy Weingarten, with, well, we're going to keep the teachers from going into the school if those kids, those little pesky kids, don't have the vaccine. It's just a lot of stuff that's out there. Rayla, what are you hearing in your school district about the vaccine and to mask or not to mask? Now, I'll tell you, my kid, I will tell him, wear the mask. If the mask falls down, okay, fine. Because he's 7 years old, he and his cousin. So what are you hearing, Rayla?
So in our state, they are trying to require masks depending on your school district where it is. The governor is leaving it up to towns now, but they're trying to require masks for all children 12 and under who aren't fully vaccinated. And in high school, if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask. If you are vaccinated, it's could be optional, but that way you're now labeling kids. My problem is masking children at a young age is very, very dangerous. We are taking away their oxygen. You're also, my kids don't wear masks. I'm not one that's going to do that. I don't have them wear masks. I'm actually homeschooling them for the second year in a row because I don't believe in everything that they're doing in our school system. They the children are actually being harmed by the mask. And I know because I worked in as a dental assistant for many years, and I know exactly what happens when you prohibit a child from breathing properly and then they become mouth breathers. And it is really dangerous for their dental health, which is dangerous for their overall health, not to mention limiting their oxygen, which hurts their muscles in order for them to grow and to thrive. And to see when learning people's mouths, young children need to see. They learn by reading lips and understanding and not being muffled. These children are so afraid, and you can see it because what's happening in the schools is, yes, they're opening, but guess what? You can't go play on the playgrounds. You have to play in pairs of two, and the teacher will select the two, and you've still got to stay 3 to 6 feet apart, and you have to stay on the hard top, and there's no running and playing on the playground. How is this helpful for any children? You're now segregating the children into specific two pairs and playing at each time instead of just let go and frolic and have fun and run and play and build up their immunities. We have a problem now in Massachusetts where children are coming down with RSV, which is a respiratory disease that normally you don't have this early in the season. And it's not as dangerous as it has been like it is now. And they're saying because the children don't have the antibodies built up because they're covered. They have their face covered all the time. They're separated from society. They're not getting interacting with other kids. And you see parents that are just like, oh my gosh, stay away. And I get it. You can, it's your choice, your body, your choice, your kid's body, your kid's, your kid, your choice for your kids as well. But for me, what I see is fear, and I see fear mongering, and I see people in the media. It's like fear porn. They're really trying to make everybody afraid to just go out and actually live. We have probably already built up antibodies against this virus since it's been here, if people have been watching the news, since September of 2019. Well before everything where they were just like, shut down everything. It was here. It was on our grounds. And actually, a bunch of us thought we got it in February before they started shutting everything down as well, when parents and kids were going on February vacation and we all had the same symptoms, very weird, but we are all recovered. I've been to over 100 rallies in the state of Massachusetts, definitely hugged over 1 million people with Massachusetts and New Hampshire, and didn't get so much as a sniffle. I'm pretty sure I would have gotten something, anything. And the same thing with my kids. We find playgrounds to seek out to go and play with other children so that they're playing and they're outside building up their antibodies. There's no way. And if you look at the CDC's records, they show that last year there was like 2 people that died from the regular flu. 2. You got to be kidding me. It's the fear that they're trying to push, and they're trying to scare your children out of being normal. These children are not learning how to interact with people anymore. They're just learning a mask, a faceless face. That's what I see. And it's hurting our children. They're not strong at all because they're not building up these antibodies.
Yeah, I think bringing back these face masks is going to be a really bad thing as far as people getting vaccinated. It takes away a lot of the incentive that people had to get vaccinated in the first place. And I'm with Rayla. The antibodies building up seems to be important. People aren't even taking that into consideration and whether or not they should get the vaccine. We're seeing in cities like New York City to go out to eat, to go to an entertainment venue. City workers, they are all being mandated to take the vaccine, as well as our military. By September 15th, they need to be vaccinated. It is now mandatory. What are your thoughts on making this vaccine mandatory, Rayla?
I completely disagree with that. One, a vaccine is supposed to prevent. This does not prevent. We actually see that it's what we call shedding. And what they're doing is inoculation. they're trying to spread the virus because they know that enough people are not getting the vaccine, not to mention the side effects of the vaccine and the ingredients in these vaccines that people are allergic to. How can you mandate any group of any person to put some foreign object in their body that is not approved and that is not an actual vaccination and doesn't prevent? It actually is now spreading the virus around. So they're now the super spreaders, as they were calling all of us people. So I think that's, you know, pretty ironic. But we should not be mandating the vaccine on anybody, and even our military. We shouldn't be doing this because we don't know the long-term effects from this. We do know some of the side effects that have been happening now, neurological damage, enlarged hearts, young children getting periods before they've had them. Like, these are severe side effects that we need to be taking into account. Blood clots. Like, what happens when you have military sitting there in the jets, sitting inside with their legs, and then a blood clot, and they get up and they die? Like, let's think about it.
It needs to stop, the fear, because there's too much fear mongering that's going on. And with the fear mongering, they know that people will be confused and they can get them to act like sheeples. Look at how they got us all like locked down during 2020. People looking out their windows and squealing on other people who had more than the required or the allotted amount of people in their homes. Churches, what is that reminiscent of? Nazi Germany, socialism, communism. And people don't get it. I find it so interesting how people on the left are so quick to say, you know, my rights, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But the moment they heard about the virus and the vaccine, oh, I'm going to get the vaccine. I'm going to go out and get the vaccine. Oh, I don't care. I'm going to get the vaccine. But it was Trump's vaccine. Oh, I don't trust that. I'm not going to get that. But the moment Joe came in, oh, I'm going to get the vaccine. I remember a neighbor of mine, are you going to get the vaccine? Are you going to get the vax? I'm like, if I get vax, that's between me and my healthcare provider. What's the big deal? The vax is not going to save me per se. It will help me if I were to get sick. You look at the flu, the common flu. People get a flu shot every year, and still some people will get the flu. Do you see people running out to get the flu shot? No, I'm not getting the flu shot. Last time I had it, it made me sick. But with the vaccine, they have managed to ingrain, to indoctrinate that people believe that it will save them. And now we have people that were vaccinated still getting COVID-19. Look at Lindsey Graham. And there's so many others. And the mask. I laugh about it. No, I would wear the mask when I'm on New York City subway because there's so many dirty people on the subway. And I thought, what a novel idea. I always wanted to do it, but I didn't want people to think that, oh, he's being crude. How is he doing this? You know, he thinks that he's better than everyone. But now I'm like, I'm going to wear it because I don't want to smell your body odor. But as far as the mask keeping me from getting COVID-19, I seriously doubt it. But people live by it. It's like, but think about it. That little mask, when you go and eat, you're going to take it down. If you're a smoker, you're going to take it down. If you drink coffee, you're going to take it down. But you're going to keep it on any other time, just in case COVID tries to get in your nostrils. And I always thought that was hilarious also, Andrew, that all places, it manages to go all, look around and go all the way in your nostril and then plant itself in the back. And you guys remember when they were telling us, don't touch your face, don't touch your eyes, don't touch your mouth. They don't talk about that anymore. The only thing we hear is wash your hands. And people should have been washing their hands all along. But this is how henpecked of a society we've become. And now with schools getting ready to open, you have the teachers union that are getting ready to pull another fast one. Again, kudos to you, Rayla, for homeschooling your kids, because the stuff that they're going to try and pull this year, like CRT, something that you mentioned, that's going to be in full bloom. And for what? Why would you want to teach a kid that their life is insignificant? Why would you want to teach a kid that they're bad because of the color of their skin? Another form of segregation. Black people of all people should know what that's like. And the people who did it were the same people who are trying to push it now. Liberals, white liberals. But we can't see through that. We're thinking, oh, this is our moment. This is our moment to get back. And we're going to tell them that they're bad. But why? What is it going to serve? A decade from now, you will have a group of kids that are teenagers or adults even with psychological problems. And of course, you'll have the liberal psychologist going and talking to them to try to help cure them. And well, it was when this happened, when in actuality, we see what's happening now. Rilla, what are your thoughts on CRT? As some people would say, crazy radical theory. What are your thoughts?
So here's my thoughts on CRT. And they've changed it in Massachusetts. It's now culturally responsive teaching. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, my. Like I said, they're going to try to get it in there somehow. They will get it in.
Absolutely. So here's my idea is it's like going back again when they took the father out of the home. So we have so many mixed families now. You're now trying to tell your mixed children, which mine are, they are black and white, they are Irish, and you're trying to tell them that their one half of their family is more privileged than the other half of their family, which completely is not the case. And I wonder the situation that goes on in these households when their children come home and they say, well, mom, because you're white, you're more privileged than daddy because he's black, and you need to be sorry for that and pay restitutions, you know, and have the mom sit there and be like, well, wait a minute, my family was divorced and, you know, I grew up in housing just like other people. And, you know, my parents were drug addicts. Well, how was I more privileged? That's what is exactly what's happening right now, is just because of the color of your skin, they are segregating your children who never see color. In elementary school, that should not be taught whatsoever. Tell me what fourth grade critical race theory looks like. Tell me what kindergarten critical race theory looks like. You know what it looks like? And the reason why I pulled my children out of public school was when my daughter was in kindergarten and she came home and said, I learned about Martin Luther King. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. She learned I had a dream. It's a little early in the school year. It's only 2 weeks in, but still, this is going to be great. So I said, what'd you learn, baby? And she goes, I learned he was killed by a white man. And that was the last straw for me. And the next day I went in and I demanded a meeting with the superintendent, the director of the schools, the principal, the teacher. I was livid. And I yelled at every other parent, they better show up because this is the crap that's going on. Only one other parent showed up, but still one showed up. And I was so mad. And I pulled my kids out. Thank God for the church, because they got scholarship through the Catholic Church and the sisters and ended up going to Catholic school. But I took 125 other families with me. And that is because they were like, wait a second, she's right. And we have to fight for our children, and we have to stand up and say, no, enough is enough.
Right.
And we can't do this anymore. Like, why are you doing this to our children? Why would you want to go back in a time in history that was bad when we have strived and come so far now and have what we've all wanted, the melting pot, the mixture, the mixed kids all over with every different background? It's not race, because there's only one race, the human race. We're of diverse backgrounds.
So, Rayla, what is it like? Share with our listeners, you know, as you said, mixed kids living in a mixed household, just like any other family. I mean, are you telling them, okay, this part, you guys are the bad ones and these are the good ones?
Absolutely not.
Right. In essence, that's literally what the Democrats are pushing. You're supposed to tell, okay, no, dad's side of the family, they're bad. And mommy's side of the family, they're good, as opposed to this is a loving family. We love each other. We're looking at the human aspect, not at the color. There is that love that's there. Share with our viewers, you know, what it is in a day of the life of Rayla Campbell.
Oh, that's, you know, wow. Every day is an adventure in our household. You know, because My youngest is 4. He's my little boy. And, you know, I have a 9-year-old and 11-year-old daughter. So people think they are twins. But when we get up and we are just, it is love. Like it, instantly, it's hugs and kisses, good morning, breakfast. Here's our schedule for the day. Here's what's going on, especially when we're teaching them and we're teaching them about history. And they've been watching Little House on a Prairie. So I think that's kind of funny, but they love it and they're into it. And it's part of American culture. So we like to keep the traditions that we also grew up with and instilling and keeping God in their lives and instilling, you know, consequences for your actions. But also they love, they trust, they know that we're going to be there for them no matter what. But they have the values that we don't see going on in this world anymore. We are just, I mean, my kids, usually when I'm traveling on the roads, they are with me because I homeschool. So it's also like, oh, it's a field trip, but here you go. Here's our curriculum for the day. And they make sure that they're on and they're doing it. But we have such love in this household. And both my husband's family and my family grew up in the city. My husband's family is from the Mission Hill Projects. My family is from the Dorchester and Mattapan Projects, as well as my husband's mom is from Dorchester Projects. But they both made the smart decision that when they were going to have families and have kids, they moved to the suburbs. And even though my mom bought a house in, well, she was in low income and Section 8 housing in Scituate, it was a townhouse. And his family bought a house in Norwell. And at that time, it was so cheap. It was this tiny little country bumpkin towns that we lived in. But the education system was great. We were taught values. We were taught properly how to read, write, arithmetic. You know, this, we do cursive. They don't do that anymore. We had traditions, the Christmas songs, like everything has been taken away from our children instead of loving our country. We were taught to fight for our country, to love our country. We give so much to everywhere. We're the best. That's why we're the best. Everybody wants our help and we're so awesome that we're going to give it to everybody, but we got to make sure we're the best. I loved that. And I still love that. And that's how I raise my children. You know, you give back, but you also strive to be the best. And you know that you're going to have fails and you're going to fall down, but you pick yourself back up and you keep going. And they see that when what they see happening to me and all of the attacks and, you know, there are stumbles and bumps and I'm learning. I'm new at politics. I'm not a politician. I'm an everyday hardworking mom that has a crazy life and decided to fight for our country.
Right.
Yeah, that's got to be incredibly inspirational for those kids. Recently, Cori Bush defended the use of private security while calling to defund the police. Apparently, she has spent over $70,000 on private security while she tells everyone else to suck it up. One of the reasons that people love America, like Raylo was talking about, is because of the law and order we have in this country. Raylo, what is your thoughts on these over-the-top politicians talking about things like defunding the police at the same time that they have private security?
That makes my skin crawl. And I stand up for the police all the time. I always have. I always will. And when I see them out there calling for the defunding of the police and actually cutting the budgets, they're passing. They have cut budgets. They've cut down task force. They've taken out gang units. When you see that happening and they are basically stealing money from Americans to live in these really rich communities and have private security because they're afraid, oh no, that the people that they're supposed to be giving the money to are going to come and get them because the communities are still destroyed. These people should be held accountable and the police should absolutely not be doing their security details. They should say, no, you've got to hire your own private team, spend your money. And if a company wants to take them, that's the company's, you know, they can do that because they're going to be making money. But for having our local, our taxpaying officers, absolutely not. You defund them, they don't work for you.
Yeah, something else that's recently been in the news was Governor Cuomo has had to resign because of the Me Too allegations against him. Not only does he have that going on, he's got all these nursing home deaths happening. If we all remember last year, Governor Cuomo was the Liberals' fantasy candidate for president. At one point, they even wanted Joe Biden to step aside and let Andrew Cuomo take his place. Rayla, what are your thoughts on Andrew Cuomo having to resign?
He should have done it sooner. I mean, this guy literally has blood on his hand. He had a ship docked, emptied, nobody in there, didn't do a thing to help the nursing homes, the hospitals, the people, the community, shut it all down and was like, what do you want me to do? And you know he's a freak. You could just see it by looking at him. So it doesn't surprise me. But for him, for it to take so long and for them to be like, oh, well, we find them credible, but this is all we can do. It's up to him. That's a disservice. And that's an injustice. This guy should have immediately stepped down instantly after the whole COVID crisis. And then this stuff comes out that just adds to it. Now, is he going to be charged? Is the question. He stepped down, yay, but you're a serial assaulter. Like, just like Creepy Joe and all these other creeps that we have, all of these rich people, it makes you wonder when you hear these stories, what these Democrats and politicians, they get in so dirty, and then they think that they are God's gift to the world, and they can do whatever they want to whoever they want, and they're never going to get caught. Well, let me tell you something. The devil is here. We see it, but God's people are stronger. And now God's work is being done.
Yeah, well said. We've been joined tonight by Rayla Campbell, who's running for lieutenant governor of the great state of Massachusetts. Rayla, if people want to support your campaign or find out more about you, what is the best spot they could go to do so?
So they can follow me and like me on Facebook. We have just gone over our 16,000 followers mark, so I'm really excited about that. It's Rayla Campbell for Massachusetts. You could just type that in. It's R-A-Y-L-A, Campbell like the soup. Think Ray like sunshine, Campbell like the soup. And as soon as you start spelling Mass, M-A-S-S, it'll pop up because I know Massachusetts is hard for a lot of people. They can also find me on the web. My website is rayla4ma.com. That's R-A-Y-L-A-F-O-R-M-A.com. I'm also on Twitter, on all of the Telegram and these other platforms that I'm still not used to yet. But Facebook is the main site, and they can also catch me on my radio show every Thursday. I'm on WSMN out of Nashua. It's 1590 AM, 95.3 FM locally, or you can also listen to us live on the web at WSMN.live. Also through my Facebook page, or if you have Alexa, just say, Alexa, play WSMN.
Thank you, Rayla, and thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.